All right, welcome in. We are we're live for our purposes here. It is a Thursday morning. It has been it's hour 25 of a week-long marathon. It is Crab Cake Row, and Crab Cake Row has moved to the 21228, where life is great, and I'm going to be staring at Kurt Cobain. Is that Madonna or Courtney Love? I think that's Courtney Love. And yeah, and Dave Grohl. I'll be staring all day at the Flea, at Eddie Vedder, I'm Still Alive, and Stevie Wonder, which is... I should move Stevie in front. I like to stare at Stevie all day. We're doing all this on behalf of the Maryland Food Bank. This guy here, if you're out on the video side, audio side, Carmen Del Guecho, has been a repeat offender on this program, especially during the plague when things were really, really tough. I've never met you until like 8 minutes ago. Moeller would have freaked out if he'd even seen me talking to you because he was the green roomer who would get the whole thing and then bring it on the air. I'm like, no, we're not repeating anything. And I sort of teased out, like, you're like, well, nice to see you. I've done the show before. What the heck are we doing here this week? What is this cup of Super Bowl thing? And like all that. And I know you're here today because it's nearby. And so you would have, I said, you should be there day one on Monday. I'm like, we'll get to him by Thursday. By then, I might be like, my wife was over under my voice would be gone by like lunchtime today, but I'm doing okay on that.
All right, good.
Thanks for the hydration. But thanks for coming. I know this is your side of town, and I'm going to tell you our story and your story, but more than anything, you driving to Catonsville every day.
Yeah, I'm driving to Catonsville every day. That's where our primary headquarters is on Hillthorpe. That's our largest facility, but we have warehouses in Salisbury and Hagerstown, so we're covering the whole state.
So today here at State Fair will be the same deal as the last couple of days. If you bring goods for the Maryland Food Bank, dry goods, tell them what they can and can't bring, because I've failed to do that all week. I've been such a turd about that.
I mean, dry goods, certainly, in terms of, so you think about things that are nutrient-rich, you think about and protein, so black beans, tuna fish, peanut butter, chicken, those
My
kind of...
My goodness, those are exactly the things I've seen. People read the rules. I looked up and I'm like, there's tuna fish in there. And everything you just said, I said, there's some peanut butter. Was it Costas? I saw a big...
There you go.
Somebody brought saltines.
All right, yeah.
I saw a lot of corn, but I did see black beans.
Right, it goes a long way, and our neighbors love that. So that's perfect.
Well, so this whole thing's kind of crazy. It kind of came together. There's the behind the kitchen part where I used to be at Radio Row and do this from Super Bowl and was trying to figure out what I was going to do that would have some impact this week that meant something to me. And October, November, I started to think about, all right, there's going to be a Super Bowl week. The Ravens might be in it. I'm not going to Las Vegas. What can I do? And they might be in it, and it might be a purple pep rally, right? You know what I mean? I thought, well, I haven't done live radio in 10 years. So that would be special for me. And this is brand new equipment. I have no idea how to work. Remember Light Bright when we were kids? Did your parents ever get you a
Light
Bright?
It looks a bit like that right there. Exactly.
Like
a Light Bright. No doubt. Yep.
My parents, that was the one thing they promised me when I was a kid that I never got. That and a Hop on Pop. And I'm still like, I'm scarred, you know? But I have my own Light Bright
now.
Dad. You know? I don't know how to work it, and I've knocked myself off the air.
Looks like you know what you're doing.
I went 8 hours yesterday without knocking myself off the air. We are now officially, four and a half minutes, three minutes and 30 seconds in, and we're doing okay. So far, so good. So in October, November, I started thinking, well, the Ravens were good. I mean, good, whatever we're going to do. We'll throw a party. I'm going to be at Hollywood Casino on Sunday for the big game. I was going to be there if the Ravens were in it. And obviously, right? I mean, right?
Yeah, still getting over that.
So this dream begins in October. I mean, it began 40 years ago, but it really began in October. And I'm like, I want to fill airtime. I want to do something special. Jerry Lewis and watching him do the telethon. I don't want to be on the air at 3 in the morning and be the...
You're showing your age, by the way,
Jerry Lewis. Rex Snyder, by the way, who was a former police officer in Anne Arundel County, was my employee, did afternoon drive here for a period of time. He did a 24-hour thing. And I'm like, dude, you're nuts. I mean, nobody's awake. That's what I want to do. And I'm like... All right, man, I'll call you at 1:40 a.m. I'll get up, and I'll be that guy. But this is before we had the internet, like all that. It was 15, 20 years ago. I wanted to do something impactful. I'm like, all right, 9 to 5, working man, like the Rush song. That's, you know, I get the Geddy Lee thing once in a while. And I thought, we'll just do it during daylight, and that way my businesses can be, you know, let me in, get me hooked up. And I said, all right, I want to do 100 charities that week. I want to do 20 charities a day and meet new people and have old friends on.
Awesome.
Like, so you were one of the people on the first 100, like, and some of them, like, I said Matt Gallagher from Goldsecker, I wanted him to come talk to him. I didn't even get him on this week. So I'm only going to get to about 65 or 70. I mean, I'm running out of time and voice and, like, all that. But I did invite everybody. So that was the first basis of it. And then I wound up Wise Markets, one of our great sponsors. Love you, Jamie. Love everything about them, including the ice cream. And I was out at my Wise Markets at Uta-Wood. My wife and I just went shopping on kind of a chilly night, and there were tents set up in the parking lot, and there's Jamie doing the stick mic thing, and there's Bill from Channel 2, and you know, and I'm like, okay, seed planted. It didn't even occur to me, but I'm like, this is kind of a cool big mm-hmm. live event thing. You know, people are bringing their food, and I'm like, that's awesome, mm-hmm. and that's cool. And I knew you, and I haven't had you on in a while. John Maroon, with mm-hmm. you know, like,
yeah.
So I started thinking, it was Thanksgiving. My kid was at the house. We're drinking some wine. We're eating some turkey. And I said to him, I want to do this thing, like, Super Bowl week. I want to do, like, a thing, you know? And my kid's been my kid forever. He's watched me do all this for 32 years. He's way smarter than me. He texts me, like, 2 hours later. He's like, Dad, it's Super Bowl week. You should do something, but, like, you do Crab Cake Tour. I said, yeah, I want to call it maybe Crab Cake Row is my first mm-hmm. idea. Instead of Radio Row, I want to do one day at Costas, one day at just what I've done, right? Evan here, great folks, Kirby, letting us in early in the morning here. And I said, all right, he said, you should do something with Maryland crab soup. All your places have great crab soup. It's February. Do something with soup. And I'm like, all right. He said, it's Super Bowl week, so do soup. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. So do I want a cup of soup or bowl? Bowl, cup, soup, bowl, soup.
There you go.
Soup or bowl, cup of soup or bowl, and then I had it, right? And I'm like, all right, Crab Cake Row, a cup of soup or bowl. And then I'm like, well, what are we going to ask people to do? And I'm like, well, for feeding people. And then it occurred to me, my father starved when he was a kid, right? Mm-hmm. So my father never voted for a Republican after Herbert Hoover. Mm-hmm. So he, that All in the Family song, Mr. We Could Use a Man Like Herbert Hoover Again. Yeah. My dad would say, piss on Herbert Hoover. So every Saturday night after church, we'd come back from Our Lady of Fatima with some donuts usually, and we would watch that. My dad would say, Herbert Hoover, no. You know, so some soup lines. And my father would, when I was a little boy, my father was much older than me. He was born in 1919. Here we go. There's half. Mm-hmm. So he was born in 1919. 1929, obviously, bad things. Came to Baltimore to work on the bombers in Essex in the 40s during the war. And he so I come along. I'm adopted. Aparicio, you can read up on that. I'm releasing the book next month. So he would always say to me, you got a dollar in your pocket, put some food in your belly. He'd pet my belly. So I've thought about this ish and, you know, I haven't spent a night without food.
Right.
Tell people what that's like.
Yeah, I mean, that's hard. I mean, I think about that every day, Nestor, in terms of our mission, right? And I think what you
nine
just...
9 in the morning, you got me going, Carm.
What you just described is a lot of people don't recognize the magnitude of this issue in our state, right? We got a lot of beautiful things going on in our state, but there's so many people who are struggling to make ends meet. And what's the thing that I've learned in my 7 years at the Maryland Food Bank, frankly, is the fact, the resiliency of folks who are struggling to make ends meet. You think about the fact that they wake up every morning who hungry and figure out how they're going to get through this day, and they do what they can, provide for themselves, provide for their families, and they go to bed and they do the thing all over again tomorrow, right? And they do that same routine day in and day out. And so, you know, we'll talk about this a little bit more. I mean, we clearly are doing everything we can to provide as much access to food as we can, but we're thinking more broadly about the mission of the food bank so that we can begin to address some of these root causes so families don't have to consistently, you know, they can kind of break out of that cycle of poverty and get in a position where they can provide for themselves and their family.
All of that people this week are doing this work.
One of our partners earlier this week, right?
Oh, I mean, I've seen
a variety of people already who
do this work, from St. John's Pantry in Essex and church outreach groups, Baltimore Outreach down at the harbor, sheltering women. Pantry everywhere, right? Literally.
And absolutely.
St. Francis of Assisi yesterday over by Costa, by Coco's. You know, the folks at Costas donate locally. I found out how much Wise Markets and Royal Farms, who's also my partner, who donates to you. I mean, all my partners donate to you,
dude. I mean,
these are all your people,
too. It's amazing.
And they're my people. And this week, they become our people, right. I guess. So,
But 330 organizations like that all across our state.
330.
In communities all across our state. And you think about it for
all
a second.
All 24 counties, right?
We don't cover PG and Montgomery, but we cover the rest of the state.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
so that's a D.C. initiative.
You're right.
DMV.
And so, you know, when I think about it, when you think about those organizations and the role they play in those communities, Nestor, right? I mean, the issue of food insecurity and not being able to provide for your family from a dignity perspective can be really strong, hard for a lot of people, right? And so to have a local organization who they can trust and know that they can go to for help, and relationships that begin to get developed, not only with the organization, but with the people who run that organization. So some of the people you talked to this week, and the personal relationships that exist, these are the lifeline for many people in these communities that otherwise wouldn't exist. And so our partner network plays a critical role. We call them our last mile. They play a critical role in being there for their neighbors so that they can create as much of a positive and dignified experience as they possibly can, to know that our neighbors have a place to go when they're struggling. And that's the part, I think, the role that they play is critical for us.
So the Cup of Super Bowl comes because my kid comes up with this fun idea. All my places.
Yeah, Apple doesn't fall far from the tree, obviously, from a marketing perspective.
Well,
all
of my sponsors make great, and here specifically, they don't have it on this morning. I heard they needed an ingredient. They're working cream of crab soup. They do a cream of crab and corn chowder here specifically today. If you're listening today on Thursday, come on out to State Fair. Bring some stuff. We give you a free Cup of Super Bowl if you leave behind stuff for this guy, his group, the organization here in Catonsville. At 4:40 every day, we've had someone stop by the show, tell their local story, and then take the food home. That happened St. Francis of Assisi Church in the Lauraville, Gardenville district was Wednesday. So we'll go through all that. I just want to give you the rest of this because it really does involve the big game. I've been to 27 Super Bowls broadcasting. My first Super Bowl was in 1992 in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It was the Thurman Thomas forgetting the helmet, Redskins win, beat one of the many times the Bills lost. Rasig, I'm sorry, you're not here today. Rasig did yesterday. He's a Buffalonian by choice, even though he lives two blocks from Coco's. So 1992, I see this event called Taste of the NFL. And I couldn't afford it. I mean, it was 1990. I barely got a ticket. John Stedman got me a ticket for that game. I didn't have a press pass for that game, but I had a ticket. And I just started my radio career. I'd been on the air a month with Kenny Albert. And I called Kenny's show from Radio Row, which was a little hotel ballroom from a payphone outside with Keith Mills, was there at the Minneapolis Super Bowl at the Hyatt. So that's 32 years ago last week, because they play Super Bowls in February and they used to play them in January, as you remember. So 95, I went to the Phoenix Super Bowl broadcast. I had Dick Schaap on the show that year. Yeah. I remember it was like a beautiful thing. And we were just getting the team, right? Like the team was promised to us. Art was kicking the dogs. The Browns were still in Cleveland. That was that period of time. And then 2 weeks later, like Art showed up, and March Brode was 96, right? So that's how far back I go. And in that Phoenix one, there was a Taste of the NFL in the streets of Tempe, and I saw it. I was partying, but it was an outdoor party that was kind of I got up to the fence of it, and it said, Taste of the NFL, you need a ticket? Oh, cool. And, you know, it was a $300. It was, it was something I couldn't afford at that time in my life. So then we got the team. I started broadcasting, and every year, the U of the Taste of the NFL, the guy who runs it, was a guy named Wayne Kostroski. I want everybody to Google Wayne. Kostroski. Minneapolis restaurateur, baker, do-gooder, who founded this thing, went to the NFL when the Super Bowl came in Minneapolis, when things were still more open, like for ideas to make it great in a cold city. Mm-hmm. He came up with this, well, it's cold out, they're not golfing, we're going to throw an indoor party, invite Miss America, get REO Speedwagon, get Coca-Cola to underwrite it. We're going to do it for hunger.
Awesome.
Taste of the NFL. Nancy
Didn't
Longo.
Know that. Didn't know that.
Nancy Longo from Pierpoint Restaurant, who should have been on the damn show this week. I should have gotten her. I still have tomorrow at Pappas. Nancy, I'm coming for you. So Nancy became the Baltimore chef, okay? So I never went to this event before. It turned into more of like a convention center, 5,000 people.
Wow.
Bare Naked Ladies, Brooks and Dunn. These are the bands that are playing, you know what I mean? Like serious bands doing the event. And I got to know Wayne from Radio Row sitting on, and he would bring by celebrity chefs. Sometimes they would bring alumni players. So their event, if you can picture, was just this grand tasting event, right? Mm-hmm. Like they would, Nancy every year would do something with crab. Mm-hmm. So it would be crab and corn this, crab and corn chowder, little mini crab cakes, and you get small plates. And she would have a celebrity there, right? A former Raven, not a Colt, because the former Colts were at the Indianapolis booth, right? And Brig Owens would always be the Redskin. You know, you could go through the teams where certain John Cappelletti would always be there with the Patriots, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, it was that kind of room, right? Couple Hall of Famers here and again, but a lot of the players reappeared every year because it was such a beautiful event. Mm-hmm. They got to fly in, and they got to be a part of the Super Bowl. And they would wind up on Radio Row, and they would sit and talk about their team, or they were my guest, right? And they were there on behalf of Taste of the NFL, Hunger. We're doing this event. It's cool. This is the kind of cool stuff we do at the Super Bowl if your team ever makes it, right? So our team made it in 01, right? So the year our team made it, Ernest Biner was the former, we didn't have a lot of former Ravens, dude. We're 3 years old.
4 years old.
So Ernest had signed up for it while he was the running back coach on a team. Remember, he had that transition period. He was like, after that, he transitioned into sort of the team mentor that the role is now held by Jameel McClain and Harry Swain had. It's a player community
coaching
role. Former player who is an outreach guy to keep guys on the up and up. Tell guys how to live their do the right thing, right? So Ernest
Make
was one
decisions.
Of the first, right? Ernest was one of the first guys to be that guy on Brian's staff. And Ernest, like, I can't do this event. So Wayne said to me, you got to be the celebrity. I'm like, dude, there's football player. Hall of Fame. Don't make me that guy. I said, let me call somebody really famous. So I got Marty Bass.
There you go.
So Marty and I sat there and knocked back wine the night before the Super Bowl, wearing purple, signing stuff, Hank taking pictures, and we won the game. And so every year I wound up coming, my wife, I got married the next year, Wayne, Andrew Zimmern, you know, celebrity chefs.
That's awesome.
So all these years later, I decide to do this thing, Cup of Super Bowl, and I'm like, I've been doing this Hunger thing for 30 years with Wayne. And I thought every football player that ever did the show Super Bowl week had a cause. They had a, I'm here on behalf of Isotoner Gloves. And by the way, get your prostate checked. You know, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, but they all had a cause, right? And I thought, all right, so blending all this together. So I called Wayne, I don't know, week before Christmas. And I'm like, dude, you're smarter than me. Give me some good ideas. And it occurred to me that this is all Wayne's fault. This everything we did here is Wayne's fault. You know why? For you, at least. So 92 is my first one. 96 we get in the league. I'm at every Super Bowl every year from 6 a.m. Monday till 6 p.m. Friday doing what I'm doing right now. I stopped doing it live 10 years ago because it just became easier to do it on tape, right? Instead of waiting for Snoop Dogg to stop taking pictures with a live mic and say, dude, are you going to sit down? Or we would just roll to tape and tape things. 2012, we all had our hearts broke, right? Cundiff misses the kick. Lee Evans drops the ball. And from a business perspective, it was awful. But I went to the Indianapolis Super Bowl very, very begrudgingly, by the way. And now I had broadcast from a dozen combines in Indianapolis. So I'm always there when it's cold as hell, February, awful, Ursay, Peyton, Hoosier Dome, all that, walking in the Hobbit down there with the little glass city they have built there. And so I'm very familiar with Indianapolis. We set up, we were in the ballroom. I had like a whole epiphany that week. I woke up on Wednesday morning. It was the best Super Bowl ever. It was, the weather was beautiful. People came from, it was like a state fair, not like a corporate gig, you know, like these other events tend to be, right? It was real people involved in Indianapolis, and they loved it, and they had, what do they call those, zip lines through the city?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it was 65 degrees every day. It was just like, it was perfect, right? So I undid the dagger with Ursay. I wrote this blog about, like, you got to drop this. It's
over.
It's been 28 years.
Right.
It's over.
We have our
it's
team
over.
Now, and we have our team.
It's over. So I dropped the sword, and then that Friday night, Saturday night, they threw Taste of the NFL on Saturday night. That year, they threw the party because it's Indianapolis and ain't nothing there. They ran out of ballrooms and places to throw parties. So they decided, I think Wayne was, I should ask him. I think he was kind of desperate. He's like, we can't get a hall. You know, it's a small town. Mm-hmm. They threw it at the food bank.
No kidding.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, your food bank, I ain't been over there, but I'm thinking it's a giant warehouse.
It's not prime real estate, exactly.
It's a
warehouse. It's an industrial site, exactly.
He threw the party in the food bank.
There should be a statue of that guy outside of that food bank.
In the middle of nowhere, the night before the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Transportation was an issue, Carmen.
I bet it was.
Carmen Del Guecho's here from the Maryland Food Bank, and I'm storytelling, but you're wondering what the heck you're doing here, so I'm giving you the whole, I'm giving you the full Monty,
that's awesome,
as they would say. So my wife and I got trapped in the friggin' Indianapolis Food Bank. It's 1:30 in the morning, watching limos pull up, begging people to give them $20. Somebody took pity and threw us in their limo and drove us back downtown and dropped us off at the corner of Maryland Avenue, by the way, in downtown Indianapolis. But we like really were stuck there, and we're like, we might sleep here tonight, but they got food, and we're not going to starve.
Yeah, you're not going to starve, that's for sure.
I've told this story once or twice this week. You're a Baltimorean. Give everybody your story. How did you get involved in all
this? Yeah, I'm not a Baltimorean, actually. I've been here since 1990, but
almost. Where are you from?
I'm from Westfield, Western Massachusetts.
Oh, yep. Springfield-ish?
Yeah, like, we're outside of Springfield. Exactly.
Right.
Good,
Naismith?
Good recall.
All that good stuff.
Yeah.
Mike Flynn is from there, and is one of my favorite people in the world. So, salt of the earth
people
out there in Western Mass.
There you
know?
Go. Yeah, I moved here in 1990, but I grew up in Western Massachusetts. My parents are Italian immigrants. So they came to this country in the early 60s. They didn't really speak the language particularly well, worked in factory jobs and in odd jobs after hours. And so
my family played baseball and left me behind.
Yeah. Well, it was it was great. I mean, we didn't want for anything, frankly, and
neither did I. But, I've never spent
just
a night
fond
in my
memory,
life.
Fond memories
I'm wondering what I'm going to eat, not if I'm going to eat.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Literally.
But it's funny because when I think about, going into this role and the challenges that some people face, I didn't really appreciate the fact that, we weren't food insecure. We didn't have to worry about food on the table, but you could see it. You could see it out there, if I look back now, because one of the things that we never had to face as a family, Nestor, was any type of tragedy, right? Neither one of my parents got sick to the point where they couldn't work anymore, or some other family member that they had to stay home and take care of. They never got laid off in their entire careers.
That was my dad's greatest fear.
Right?
You know
things
I mean?
Like that would really set a family back and create a situation where they would have to fall back under the safety net, right? And so we were able to avoid that and stay right above that line in terms of our ability to continue to. But we had a large garden in our backyard that I hated working in, but in the end, I know why. Part of the reason why I was there, not only is for healthy and nutritious, but, just to kind of provide a source of regular food for us.
I mean, good parents are everything, right?
Yeah,
I
agree. So it was a great upbringing, but it was... it's funny looking back, as I said, that the fact that we were able to avoid any significant issue in our lives that would have otherwise caused us to be having to rely on the food assistance safety net. And that's what we're dealing with today. I mean, there's people who are falling into that trap for a whole host of reasons, many of which are out of their control. And so, so that was my upbringing. I moved here in 1990. I worked in banking. My colleagues would call it money banking. Now I'm in the food banking business. I was in the money banking business for 27 years with First National M&T.
Bramble?
And Frank Bramble. God bless them.
See,
God rest
his
soul.
I think about those people that were the pioneers that got the Orioles here. I mean, Angelos, we can go down that river all day long, but that period of time in the 80s where we lost a football team, where we built a harbor but lost a football team, right?
Yep.
And we're trying to get the baseball team to stay with a Washington owner. And the renaissance of Baltimore in the 90s was because of the thinking in the 70s and the investment made in Harvard, like where we are right now.
Yeah.
I saw this picture of Governor Schaefer, with hair. and everything we know is Harvard play. I saw the day he was down there, like a press conference clip. It was an MPT thing on Schaefer. It was green grass because they had gotten rid of all the shacks down there on the waterfront. And it was like envisioning what that space would be used for most of my life, all of our lifetime, really, till now. And now what they're going to do with it. And I was there the day it opened in 81, right? So I think about these visions for like, nothingness and how things rise from that and how it rises the city and sports being
huge.
Yeah. Right? I mean, I see the Orioles do stuff for you, Channel 2. Everybody does stuff for you, man.
Yeah. Well, we're very fortunate from that perspective because I think more and more people are going to realize, especially during the pandemic, I think, Nestor, the issue of food insecurity got elevated in a way that it's never been elevated before during the pandemic. One, because more and more people were suffering, but two, because images that were now starting to get piped into your nightly news, you're sitting home all day long.
People in car lines.
Car lines, right? And people are like, what's going on? It's like, this is the norm in many communities across the United States,
right? Right.
And so there's this awareness that became that really has benefited all of us. does as food banks is to try to bring more people to try to help us on our cause. People like yourself who have always been passionate about it, but now, you know, you and others who are starting to continue to advocate for folks who are struggling. And so, you know, again, from that perspective, we've been very blessed. And so now it's our job to figure out how we can take this platform now that we have and figure out ways in which we can make, you know, we can even have a bigger impact than we're already having. So food distribution, we're sourcing enough food, whether we're buying it or getting it from donations, Anester, that's probably to the tune of about 40 million meals a year. But we, and we're really focused, I said earlier about the type of food we're providing, we really want to be more focused on nutrition, more focused on culturally preferred as a way to make sure that people have access to good, healthy, quality food for their families. And then, again, as I said earlier, our focus is starting to, is also been to begin to address the root cause of hunger. So finding ways that we can begin to help neighbors get out of this trap, if you will, of poverty. And so that's really what our kind of, I won't say expanded mission. I think it's all part of the overall mission of Truly. If we're talking about ending hunger, it's more than just distributing food. It's finding ways to solve this at a systemic issue.
Carmen Del Greccio is our guest. What is CEO? What do I call it? What's your title?
Like, sure, president.
President of the Maryland Food. I don't want to get people... I always say
it's not about titles after today, right?
Just like you, you're right. But I got to call you something.
Yeah, there you go.
I would say to them what you are. Yeah. So runs the food bank, or is that fine? He runs the
co-runs,
food bank. Co-runs along with the other. How many people?
180 people now who are helping us make this issue. Plus, you know, thousands of volunteers.
I recognize the shirt and the logo because every day at 4 o'clock, a guy stood up, comes in with a little black jacket on, and says, "Where do I take it?"
There you go.
So that's worked out well. So that night in Indianapolis, the reason I ask you if you were an old school Colt fan is because I am, right? So I'm a kid from East Baltimore. I wear rock and roll belt buckles, and I have my Colt. Today, by the way, I wore Doobie Brothers.
There you go.
The Doobie, because I was taking it to the streets. That was kind of my theme for today over here in Catonsville. But the Baltimore Colts were a big part of my life as a kid in the 70s, and Burt Jones famously had his shoulder separated in a preseason game. Mm-hmm. Now, you wonder why Harbaugh doesn't play Lamar, mm-hmm. right? And it really ended Burt Jones's career, for better or worse. It really ended the Colts. They were never anything after that. And then they moved. And there was a thought, well, if Burt stayed together, they might have won a Super Bowl or two in 79 or 80, because they certainly were there with the Houston Oilers and the Steelers. And then it just fell apart. And obviously, bad management, bad leadership will get you blown up. I think we can all say that. So Tiger Bob took over, and, you know, they drafted Arch Schliester, and all the bad things happened. But it was a seminal moment in my childhood. I was 10 years old. I loved the Colts. They had played the Steelers here where the plane went in, lost. They played the Steelers up there, lost. They had ghost to the post, lost. I was at the two games that were here, so I was 8, 9, 10, 11 years old. And Bubba Baker was the guy who separated Burt's shoulder. And at Taste of the NFL in Indianapolis, it was early video for me. Like, I had a camera where my wife could hold the camera and I could mm-hmm. interview folks for our YouTube channel, our WNSU YouTube channel. Now it's like ubiquitous. Everybody knows, you're right?
Right.
But and cameras, phones didn't have camera. You know, this is 12, 13 years ago. And I'm in the Indianapolis food bank, and they're throwing the party, and there's the Raven thing, and Matt Stover's over there now because we have alumni. He and Kadri and Kyle Richardson all beat each other up to get to the Super Bowl to be able to drink free wine and serve crab cakes with Nancy and wear her purple royal hat. Might have been Trent Dilfer that year, actually. So I have pictures every year doing this event, being at her table and putting the apron on and laughing with people, and they all fight about their helmets. They get their helmets autographed. They all try to get the highest donation for hunger.
There you go.
Whoever has the best decorations, they get an extra $500 for their, you know. So right. they're all competing, all the chefs. So so the Cleveland Browns celebrity is Al Bubba Baker.
Oh, no kidding.
That year. So, yeah, I'm like,
he wasn't with the Browns when he separated his shoulder.
No, he was a Lion. But I think he was clearly a Brown alum because it was the Brown stable. Browns were having a hard time getting alum that year. They're changing coaches, changing socks. They're 2-14. Right. I mean, they're awful, right? So this is 2012. I go over and there's Al Bubba Baker, and I said, "Hey, Mr. Baker, I want to interview." He's an older man, right? I mean, 70s or whatever. Big, still big man. And my wife holds the camera up, and I said, "You know, you're sort of famous in Baltimore for sacking Burt Jones." And he said to me, "Yeah, man, I meant to hurt him." He like went off the deep edge about, like, it's the way we played the game back then, man. I hurt him. I meant to hurt him. And I'm like, Like the 10-year-old boy in me was like, this was a bad man. This was not.
He wants this guy breathing down on you.
Yeah, I'm like, well, it's nice to meet you, Mr. Baker. Let's get the hell out of here, you know. But I remember that night in Indianapolis. So I think you remember these snapshots in life. But I do remember getting trapped there. I do remember it's the only time I've ever been in a food bank. And it's certainly a dozen years later, it's come back to benefit, hopefully there you, hopefully some folks at pantries all over the community to create some awareness. Carmen's, we're here at State Fair, so I want to give everybody an open invitation for our fun little promotion here this week to help folks, you know, in a really tough time of the year. I said to my wife that, so when I'm dreaming this thing up to November, December, I've done coats. I've done stuff for you, man. We found old Campbell's soup that got left in a closet 10 years, you know, like in our, when I went cleaning the radio station out, when my wife almost died 10 years ago, I found stuff laying around. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is 2007 or whatever. Because we did coats and we did cans and it mobbed the radio. I mean, like literally we had boxes piled up both times we ever did it and the transportation to get it out. And I would just say for the modern part of this, I didn't want people bringing it out to the radio station for a month.
Right.
What is the best way people can do this for you? Because when I've talked to, and Joanne has been unbelievably great, and I wish she should have come today because I wanted to give her some love too because she's done a lot of work.
She's awesome,
She's done a lot of work the last couple weeks trying to help me out to get all this organized because I am a one-man band these days. And she told me, she's like, well, we don't do it the way we used to do it. I'm like, thank God. Because it wasn't the most efficient way.
Absolutely.
People rolling this stuff out the Towson into my little radio station.
Yeah,
you know?
Because, you know, in the end of the day, we have a really good feel of what our neighbors want, and we have certain objectives we want to do around nutrition. So to be totally, you know, open about that, Nestor, we buy $25 million worth of food every year as an organization.
So you think buy it,
right? For distributing it to the communities across our state, right? In addition to what we get donated.
So you have to buy it from Wise Markets or someone like that, right?
Correct. Okay. I mean, you think about any potential wholesaler or retailer that we're buying from on a regular basis. And we're buying it because the need is grand. You know, our donated stream coming in from these supermarkets, Weiss and others, is what it is. It's not like they're going to have any more food, right? Any given time, they're good operating organizations. They operate efficiently. Don't have a lot of waste to actually donate to us. So when demand increases, the only way we're going to fill that demand is to buy. So we're buying $25 million worth of food every year. Just think about the buying power we have. So for you to go to a store, Weiss or any other store, and to spend $5 on whatever, 4 cans of peas, right? I could take that $5 and probably buy 8 cans of peas, right? Because I'm buying wholesale, buying large, right?
So now I'm learning. We're learning.
So
okay,
we
good.
Really try to promote. We have a virtual food drive. If you go to our website, we have a virtual food drive because I think people like the
idea. When people give you a dollar, you buy in bulk. When they take a dollar to Wise, which I want you to do.
Correct. I don't want to discourage that, right?
Right. So I'm only 32 minutes into this after crying one time because it's 2 halves. all right, I'm getting it now. All
yeah,
right. I'm getting where you are.
So again, right. that's just going to be our business model going forward. So we ensure there's a steady flow of food. There's nutritional, like I said, there's high nutritional value. We understand, you know, every community is different. The needs in certain communities, when you think of Pocomoke, when you think about Western Maryland, you think about East Baltimore, right? The nature of food we might distribute in those communities could be very different. And so we want to be in a position to make sure that we understand the needs of those communities and to make sure we're putting out the food that is kind of culturally preferred and seen and wanted in those communities.
You know what's amazing? Like, I've had so many conversations this week about food that they're like running together with people at pantries and children. Somebody said something, and I don't remember which person it was, that they have a marketplace. Maybe a St. John's Pantry. Mm-hmm. It wasn't Grace and Hope because they serve men, but it was about children and being able, the kids can come in. It's a marketplace.
Yep.
It's not a beggar's pulpit. It's
awesome.
Nothing where we shame people. It's for a child to this is where they grocery shop, and they don't need to have that feeling of what the kids in my class had at Colgate Elementary, which they had special stamps.
Yeah.
And we knew they're poor. You know what I mean? My father would always say, we don't do stamps. We reduce meal lunches. We had a lot of that in my community. But there were kids, and I remember them. They only had a mother. They didn't have a father. They were renters. My father was very proud of owning. My son still takes care of the house my father bought in 1953. Lives in it. He was talking about it the other day. He's got dust up his nose from cleaning it up. And I think there's a shame part of this. And certainly, I went to Colgate where reduced lunch was a thing. I went to Hollaberg where it's probably more of a thing from a poverty perspective because it was a larger area. Then I went to Dundalk High, and there were definitely people there that, you know, had a card or something where they, instead of me paying $1.25 or whatever,
right.
they got their lunch for free. But I don't know about a pantry in my school in 1978 or 80 or 90, and I don't know that if anybody really was hungry went down to the nurse's station and said, I didn't eat last, like what happens at that point? Yeah. And when I think about, like, lunches in my school, yeah, you know, it was the Pete Rose pizza or the, you know, whatever it was, French fry, whatever they gave you. But there was always food in my school, right?
Sure.
And you could get lunch. And if you couldn't get lunch, somebody, they had a guidance counselor could pull you up if you didn't have, you know, a situation.
Yep. Yep.
But I didn't see anybody starve in my presence in my school as a young person. But I also didn't see a pantry where you could go and get something, right?
Yeah.
And that's very common now, these
pantries.
That's
changed dramatically, right?
Okay.
We have over 100 schools that we work with that have actually pantries in their facility. Schools become community centers for many, many neighborhoods, right? We're in 11 colleges and universities now. Think about that, right? You think about the cost of education and how people are doing everything they can to attend school but don't aren't an ability to kind of
provide. We all eat ramen noodles in college.
Sure, right? Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's the thing that you know, the dignity piece that you started talking about is really what we're trying to promote within our network, right? To ensure that when someone comes into their facility, they're greeted, you know, in a very human way, right, in terms of what that interaction looks like. And then the experience is the same in the sense that it's not like a pre-bag box of food that we just hand somebody to walk out. We had to do that during the pandemic because it was obviously low touch. But we're trying to kind of go back to the model we're promoting for our partners to create that dignified shopping experience so that kid who walks in that facility doesn't know the difference between a supermarket and a pantry in terms of what their experience looks like.
See, I bring you by, you call it what it is, a dignified, that's where I was searching for that, a dignified shopping experience. I love
and
that.
And so we got to get away from the images that we saw piping into everybody's living room about these long lines of people standing outside of facilities. I mean, the more we can find ways to work with partners to provide situations where people aren't having to do that, right?
I think Christy Green told me a story the other day. She ran St. Francis. She's now doing, I want to get her organization right. Don't hate me, Christy. It'll be up. I don't want to read it wrong. I'll get it off my phone. But I think she told me a story about a child who was acting out and having problems, and then the ADD, like all of that, kid was starving. That was the heart of the problem.
At his core, right?
That was the problem. The kid was starving.
Right.
That really was what the issue was.
Right. Yep.
So they're doing all these other things, but the kid's starving.
At the end of the day.
That's the end.
Yep.
I mean, like, the kid's starving, that's it. Well, my cat's hungry, I know, at 3 in the morning, literally.
Right.
Like, literally.
Exactly.
Period.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a true story. It happens every day.
When the cat's yelling at me at 3 in the morning, I know I didn't do a good enough
job. It happens every day, yeah, right, exactly.
You know, like,
you know, and that's why advocacy is starting to become more and more of an active focus for us as well, Nestor. So not only make sure we're providing access to food, but we're trying to figure out ways in which we can get other supports involved, you know, whether it's tax credits or other things to help families, you know, provide for their children so their children aren't going hungry, because our data tells us that there are people who are making trade-offs and their kids aren't actually able to eat because of some other challenges they're facing. You know, inflation's affected every household in this state. And so, you know, we're constantly looking for ways to, again, provide relief for families in that regard.
All right, you could provide some relief if you're in the neighborhood listening live today. Some of this is going to replatform in the future. I've just decided some of this stuff just needs, more people need to hear it, because I've lived it a little bit the last couple days. It's been very rewarding for me. It is hour 25 of a 40-hour marathon. We'll be at Pappas on Friday. Monday all day, we made it through, only disconnected twice and cried 2.5 times. Fadley's was packed. We had a lot of people down there Monday. My wife says today, all right, I got Fadley's, we got the leftover mac and cheese, we got Tuesday, you went to Costa, she brought me cream spinach, we have crab soup.
There you go.
So, well, they're Greek, they just sent me home with food.
They
will not let me leave without food. and then last night, Marcella sent me home with a crab cake. Oh my God, we had the ahi poke tuna special thing.
Ooh.
It was amazing. So, you know, we've been fed very, very well this week, and our places are equipped to feed you. If you bring something something for the Maryland Food Bank. We're doing a cup of Super Bowl. Come on by. Get Maryland crabs on in the morning. I see Keith back there right now whipping up the cream of crab. It's chowder here and corn. Not available for a little while. Be here at lunchtime, I think. We're working on that. But I got great. So you asked me when you came in, same as Kirby asked me, Keith. Everybody's like, who's coming today? Thomas York will be here at 10 o'clock in the morning. He's been chasing me a couple months to talk about his charity. Allison Yaspe, my old friend from the Baltimore Ravens. Susan G. Komen. I always get Susan B. Anthony, Susan G. Komen Foundation, 11 o'clock. The Children's Home right here in Catonsville, coming by at noon. Itinerous, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. P.J. Schaefer is going to be here for that. Bill Cole, my Bill Cole. Cole Roofing, not the other Bill Cole, the people's Bill Cole, who I tagged the wrong Bill Cole the other day. And former city councilman, my neighbor, former friend Bill Cole, because I'm tagging him on the wrong Bill Cole. Bill Cole from Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy will be here. He's bringing Kirby Fowler. Two Kirbys. Sure. I got a Kirby meeting a Kirby today. I wonder if they probably don't meet a lot of Kirbys. I don't meet a – you don't meet a lot of Carmens?
No, I don't even go with a last name anymore. I'm like Madonna and Cher. I just say Carmen and people kind of know who I am.
I'm Nestor.
Yeah, there you go, right? I bet same thing for you, for sure. Not many Nestors.
Yeah, I met Nestor Kirchner's the most famous Nestor. Well, Nestor Cortez and for baseball now, right? And I've never met him, but I met Nestor Torres, who's the world famous flautist, jazz flat. Yeah. I met him on a plane once, and he told me he wanted a picture with me because he had never met. He said, "I don't meet Nestors," and I'm like, "I don't meet Nestors," you know. So
I don't meet a lot of male Carmens for sure.
Well, I got two Kirbys here. Yeah. Kirby Fowler from the Maryland Zoo. I know you know. Doug Shea is going to represent my dear friend rock star Chris Schaefer from Sharp Dressed Man today. Center for Hope's going to be here.
Good.
Sisters Academy is going to be here today. Vanita Goodman, who is the National Kidney Foundation Maryland ambassador, is going to be here today. We're going to talk about kidney transplants, which I've done many times. Today's going to be really cool at the end of the day. I'm sure I'm going to cry. 4 o'clock hour. You want to see me cry? Come by, get a cocktail. Kira Babs is going to be here representing LLS. They've been trying to get me to run. They've been trying to get me to run for Man of the Year, Visionary of the Year, and I'm telling them I'm completely underqualified for that. Caitlin Kirby is going to be here from Catonsville Emergency Assistance as well. That might be your group.
Yep.
That is your group.
That's one of our partners. Right. Yep, absolutely.
Did I get everything? And anybody
that's
wants to go.
That's a pretty full day.
So on Tuesday, I start the day. My kid and I do this live thing, which I replayed this morning, by the way, from Costas. And I said, I got a couple of free segments, and I do have a couple of free. Oh, John Rollo is supposed to come by today. John, you know John?
I don't.
John's big and muscular and like tatted up. John was in first things first. John was my altar boy guy at Our Lady of Fatima in 1976, 77. Then John's dad coached football and late great Mr. Rollo. We loved him. He was my football coach. So John and I played football. John was like I was this big. John was this big. And then John was on my baseball team too. And John was at that point he was about this big and I was about this big. So I grew up with Johnny. He does Show Your Soft Side. He loves kittens. So they cruelty to animals. So I felt like a jerk because I didn't invite him. And then Show Your Soft Side came on Tuesday. And I'm like, John, you got to get out of here. So Tuesday morning, I'm like, anybody with a story to tell me, come out. And I'll make room for you. So a couple guys gather over at the table over here, and they're eating food, and they wink at me, and I'm like, are you on the – ah, we're not on the schedule. We threw you in. I'm like, I'll fit you in. So I don't even meet them, because I'm doing this. I like meeting anybody else that's here. I can't do it. I pee, I come back, I turn the thing, and we go again. He gets on mic with me, and it turns out like he's he went to high school together. He does Soup for the Soul in Dundalk.
No kidding.
On the St. Helena side, you know, the other side for me, that's – Dundalk, we have some fun with all that with Essex. But so it turns out like I've known him forever, his sister. It's Baltimore, man, and he's doing this work.
It takes.
He's doing this work. Yep. And I'm like, of course I got room for you. So bottom line is if you're in Catonsville, if I got a little bit of time at 1 o'clock hour, I'll fit you in with Bill Cole in the afternoon. If you got something good, if you're bringing us some cans, some dried food, some peanut butter, all the things I like, black beans.
There you go.
What else do you want? I don't do tuna fish out of a can, but other people do.
Sure, yeah.
What should people bring if they're bringing stuff?
Yeah, I think all those work. Again,
is it a website that they can go to? Right.
Yeah. If you go to our website and you'll get it. We have a a site that's going to give you a sense of what type of foods we're looking for. And we also, again, as going back to this virtual food drives, so you can kind of see the type of foods that we're buying with our own dollars, so that you can just use your dollars to buy the same types of food as well. Yep. But anything that's going to vegetables, again, high proteins, those kind of things.
I don't have Christy and Torben on me. Maryland Coalition of Families, Christy, and the St. Francis Community Center, Neighborhood Center, which we did Ayana on Monday. I mean, we've done Almond Fund, Catholic Charities, your bud, Bill McCarthy.
Bill McCarthy, yeah.
What a good man.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
What a good man.
Former banker.
Greg Land. Yeah, that doesn't make him good.
He may not admit to that.
Well,
he wasn't. He couldn't do it very well, so that's why he tried something else.
Baltimore Outreach Services was with us. Michelle Bresnik-Walsh, sure. My dear friend from There Goes My Hero. We had Karen Harp, maybe my favorite guest of the week. No offense to you or anybody else. From Grace and Hope Mission. Had Wendy Bronfine from Curio Wellness. With James Piper Bond joining us to talk about living classrooms.
He does great work as well,
right?
Partnering with them.
I had Derek Johnson from Preparing for Tomorrow. I'm having them back because we had tech problems, and they're two good police officers doing great work in the city, and they tracked me down after I spoke at a Rotary Club last year. I had Brett Rheingold from the Greater Baltimore Chamber of Commerce. We had Casey Cares. Femi came by. Femi Ibidation came by with Turnaround, and they're doing great work with women who've been abused and just awful things. Megan McCorkle came by. I've never met Megan. Now
Baltimore
I have a crush
Library.
On her. She's awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
Enoch Pratt. She was on TV for years. She came. She's super cool. Talked about literacy. Talked about programs. United Way. Franklin Baker came by Monday. We had Leah Bittinger from Brigham Home Animal Rescue. We had Barbara Knock for Churches for Streets of Hope in Essex. They made me cry three times. I met this beautiful guy from the east side of town. We're going to go to an Oriole game together. He doesn't know it yet. You know, the Orioles are new and improved.
Absolutely.
Under new management.
Saved us this week after the morning of the loss.
Steve Tormino, I should tell you this. He came on and, like, he was flirting with my kid and they're talking marketing and he sits down and he, like, went into this thing and he gave you $2,000 worth of something. I don't even know what he did. He's got a trunk full of something.
Great.
And then we just moved on and got talking about branding and marketing. And I never even recapped. Like this morning at 6:30, I was going to text him and say, now what did you give Maryland Food Bank again? Because I was like, so it's all running together, dude. But Christy Green, Maryland Coalition of Families, Felicia Fleming and Julia Letter lost her brother, Zacking Against Cancer. McVet. Joined us. Super the Soul Dundalk.
Nice.
We had the St. John's Food Pantry. Whitney and John Lotsky doing good work in Essex. Friends for Supper Ministry. Trish Woodward, who was in my childhood play in 1982. We did Oliver Twist at Colgate Elementary. I hadn't seen her in 42 years I hadn't seen her. Well, she said she drank beer in my house in the 80s, so 35 years. She's now 52. I expect her to
she
be 12.
She remembered you didn't.
Camp Opportunity for Young People. Show Your Soft Side. I already promoted them, and Rollo's going to be here later. Brian Marchetti, Believable Foundation. We did Baltimore Homecoming. Rosalene from the Maryland Lottery came by and talked about kitty cats. Marcella had a beautiful bird. That's the bird at Coco's that she surrendered to a sanctuary because she didn't know anything about taking care of birds, and she highly recommended that nobody gets an exotic pet because they live 100 years. So she was a really important thing she did. John Hoey from the Y, your other buddy, came by.
There.
We had Brian Pugh talking about brain trauma from the Brain Institute, Brain Injury Association of Maryland. I want to get that right.
Whew. You got a great list there, man. I'm glad I made the short list. You know what I want to invite you to, though? I mean, your second...
Chicken and waffles here during a break?
Visit your second food bank someday, right? We have
Where are you?
I'm right here in Halethorpe, right?
What is Hollinsbury it when Halethorpe, Road? Arbutus, Catonsville, they're paradise... There's like a, I don't know where the delineation is. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm not sure either, right? Exactly.
Where are you? Well, Halethorpe, I think, are the brewery. So you're near the brewery?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see. I knew that. All right.
Yeah, about an hour, about a mile from there.
Okay,
just
so
off
that's
of Washington.
A neighborhood.
But each morning, Nestor, partners like you talk to during the course of your week come in and actually, some of our smaller partners come in and pick up food because depending on the size of your organization, we might have a tractor trailer coming to you or if you have a little small amount of food,
right?
Be coming to us, right?
Right?
And the energy in our facility, Nestor, in the morning of these partners coming in and they can, is opportunities for you to talk directly to people who are serving their local communities and the mission and the work that they're doing. It's really energizing and inspirational. And so I invite you to not only see our facility, but also have a chance to interact with some partners doing some great work.
All right. Here's what
that's another thing for, put on your list.
All right. So you know I'm going to do this next year.
Yeah, right. So I figured I'd lay a little seed there.
I
maybe.
Feel like we lost Carl Weathers, who was a guest on my show. He did Radio Row in San Diego years ago.
I didn't know he played football.
He played for the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, then he went to the Canadian League or something
Raider
like that.
For life. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, you know, remember at the end, they were like, ain't going to be no rematch, you know?
Don't want one.
But, right, 6 o'clock tomorrow night when I come home with food from Pappas, because they're Greek, and they're going to send me home with food tomorrow. They will insist on a dessert that goes home tomorrow night. So when this is all over, I'm going to be like, nah. All right, we'll do
sure.
it again.
Yeah, right.
So I got to do some sort of crab cake tour thing at your place.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Absolutely.
When do you need... I don't say me, but when do you need the most help? When could I come to your place?
That's a great question.
Were the 2 weeks where you're like, all right, we run out of food every friggin' year this time because of this ice, sand, salt. I don't know your business.
Yeah, no, that's a great question, frankly. It's become a year-round issue, unfortunately.
Well, I always say, how can I help you the most?
Yeah.
That's my question. Well, I'll give you 20 minutes.
You're doing
give anybody 20
you're doing
minutes,
it right here, right?
But once we do the 20 minutes, tell them how they can help
you're
you.
You're raising visibility in a big way. You're talking to our partners, both in terms of our strategic partners like the Y and Catholic Charities, as well as our partners.
But
who
when's the most
food.
Important time
but for
to do
us,
that?
For us, honestly, it's right now, right? There's a huge buildup of activity going on.
Are you just patronizing
me? No, absolutely not. Obviously, because during the holiday, there's a lot of people focused on giving back, right? A lot of people focused on volunteering. A lot of people focused on trying to provide an experience for their family during Thanksgiving or Christmas, and that's awesome, right? And so we have a tremendous amount of influx of people and food and drives and volunteers, but it tends to dry up in January, February, March. People are like moving on to the next thing in their lives, right? And so this thing starts to take a little bit backseat. So you're right in the heart of it. You're right in the heart of it.
A cup of Super Bowl. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be like those freaks in the NFL. I'm going to put a Roman numeral 1.
There you go. Right. I look forward to doing this for.
And instead of a trophy,
I will not be here for 57. I guarantee you that
one. Some.
58, where
we
are. We
have to figure out some way to not get sued with a cereal bowl.
Yeah.
You know the other thing that I did on this, and look, I was Nasty Nestor, okay? So at the end of this segment, I'll do one funny little off-color thing that I did from 20 years ago. But this was sort of borrowed from the Wing Bowl up in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
You know about the Wing Bowl?
Mm-mm.
Oh, so the Philly Wing Bowl was
another NFL initiative around the Super Bowl?
No, it was a completely bandit Philadelphia crazy thing where they involved...
No cheesesteaks? They went with wings? You think Buffalo would be a Wing Bowl?
They sold out the Spectrum with the Wing Bowl, right?
No kidding.
No, this is a radio station. It was a promotion. It was a radio station promotion. It was a wing-eating thing that then involved all sorts of untoward pawn shops. You know what I mean? Anybody could get to sponsor it, right? I mean, it was sort of like HF Festival became the band thing.
Yeah.
Philly had this thing called Wing Bowl that, dude, it's the bourbon bacon beer thing the 98 Rock Cats do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's on steroids, and it's around almost like a Project Runway kind of in an arena. And it, you know, by the time they got the gentlemen's cabarets out to sponsor it, it's Philadelphia, devolved and devolving.
Right.
They boot Santa Claus there, right? So I don't want this to turn into
that at all. Let's.
But you know, I was Nasty Nestor, right? I'll leave on a break, and you just laugh at this, or you'll club me over the head, and I'll be raising coats next year. But back when I got the radio station, this tells you how far we've gone. It's our 25th anniversary. And I think even Wendy would laugh at this, Mercurio Wellness, because they sponsored our 25th anniversary. And they brought James Bond by the other day, and I brought... they do a lot of work with Enoch Pratt.
Mm-hmm.
So they've sponsored my 25th anniversary, and I was inspired by the Maryland Lottery. I got to get my lottery tickets out at some point here. I left them in my side bag, but we're going to be giving lottery tickets out. I should say that. Window Nation, our friends at Jiffy Lube, all of our sponsors. But back in the 90s, I got a hold of the radio station, and we were promoting things, and it was Get Nasty and like all of that stuff. And I have all these old pictures that I'm putting up, and we have these 25 stories of glory, all the best things we've ever done, charity events. I did a night where I brought Mike Tomlin, Brian Billick, and John Harbaugh together for the bone marrow registry. My wife had cancer. You know, my wife's a two-time bone marrow transplant survivor. So we've done a lot of things for charity and stuff like that. But I've also done some things... What do they say? That I'm not so very proud of. But they're funny. You know, they're funny. So I have all of these trinkets and widgets and defense signs and Get Nasty shirts and Peter Angelos and Free the Bird. Like all the things I've ever done in my career. But the lowest low that I'm the proudest of that's funny is when the station first came, we were the station with balls because we wanted to be sports.
Mm-hmm.
So it was Nasty 1570 Sports.
1570, yeah.
And I effed, you know, effed that all up. My last name's Ness and Preakness and Nest and Nestor and The Nest and Birds and Ravens. I should have branded the Nest like the fan, and it would have been the Nest like the Bird's Nest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I found that Nest was a suffix, I really screwed up Preakness. Mm-hmm. Every year should have been Preakness. So back in 1998, 99, we got the station. We called ourselves WNST. Here it is right here. Nasty 1570 Sports all day, all night, all sports. Dude Walker was our now. All day, all night, all sports. The station with balls. So that's what we were. We were the station with balls. And this was the balls, right? The juggling balls. And I'd get nasty. The Ravens got very angry when I put the R word. Or the O word, Peter Angelos would send you a C and D, and so it would go Baltimore. So the promotion for this seat cushion, which is the last of, I think I sold a couple hundred of them because it was part of our tailgate package when you had so we had a Monty Python song that we used to play. Are you familiar? You're a Monty Python guy?
Mm-mm.
All right, anybody will know. So my wife, when I said I'm taking my seat cushion and my back hurts on Monday, she said, "You get to sit on your face all afternoon." So there's your Monty Python reference. I knew I'd make you laugh, you know. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you for having me and for doing this all week long.
I guess the point is my back's... My wife got me a proper seat.
It's a hazard of the job.
My wife gave me... These are from the sofa that my cat nests on every...
There you go.
I'm doing anything I can do to save my
back. Get you through.
Dr. Steve Elliott saved my life with a chiropractic adjustment last night. So my wife had her life saved on the bone marrow registry, which also inspired all this Baltimore positive nonsense. Mm-hmm. Her blood type was B positive.
That's a rare. Is it rare?
No, it's stay positive. Be positive.
Oh, be positive.
Her blood type was literally
be positive.
Be positive.
Look at that.
And I had all sorts of weird stuff. It'll make me cry if I tell you. I had an Uber driver first day drive me to the hospital. I'm a mess. Mm-hmm. He turns around. He says, he was from Ghana. He said, "My friend, you must always be positive." Baltimore positive was born. So my wife went over to the football game in Frankfurt with the man who saved her life. On his birthday, and all she got me was this lousy seat cushion. That came, it's like a Super Bowl game when they play the games in Germany.
I bet.
So you get a seat cushion to go. So I am sitting on my face, a 1998 seat cushion, a 2013 seat cushion, back support, and I'm going to make it 8 hours.
There
I'm going to get up and stretch. Carmen Del Guecho, give him stuff, give him love. What's the website?
MDFoodBank.org.
And the best thing to do is write a check. You don't want to be that guy, but you've explained why that. He can buy stuff for cheaper,
a lot cheaper than
you can.
And then we can get on the retailers.
But
yep.
Not today. Today, bring us some canned goods. We're giving you free cup
we'll
of Super
work.
Bowl. We're out at State Fair. We're in Catonsville. Keith's in the back. They've ripped up the delicious Maryland crab soup. They're going to have their cream of crab and corn chowder, which is one of my favorite things. My wife will have that for dinner tonight as well as we get out of here. It's going to be a big day. Stay with us. Come by. Visit us. If you can't today, come to Pappas. If you can't then, I'll put a second Roman numeral on this and be crazy again next year, and we'll get it done. I am Nestor. We are WNST. On behalf of our friends at the Maryland Lottery, Window Nation, 86690Nation. I'm getting doors this year. I had windows 2 years ago. I see the crack underneath, and I'm like, all right, by April, that's got to change. Otherwise, my cat's going to be hunting mice in my place and snakes and other things like that, so we can't have that. That's why I have pests are. And also Jiffy Lube Multicare, who's underwritten this whole mess, and we appreciate them. And I got to get some trinkets from Jiffy Lube around here. I got to get a Maryland Food Bank tour as well. I'm back for more on WNST, AM 1570. We are live at State Fair. Come join us.